Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Good morning, 18 summers listeners. We're here with Dr. Daria Long. Good morning, Dr. Daria.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you? It's good to see you.
You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Lots of coffee and my morning run.
Oh, so good. Lots of self-care. So I'd love to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Dr. Daria has attended not just one, but two prestigious universities, Yale and Harvard. That's super impressive. And she's also been featured regularly on national television shows, including Dr. Oz, Hallmark. She's featured for her integration of utilizing Eastern medicine, science, centuries-old ancient medicine, and just extracting the best parts of that to bring you actionable things to do in your busy life. So I'm super excited. You're also the best-selling author of Mom Hacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That's a term that I completely love. Every time I do something that I think is super amazing, I'm like, oh, Mom Hack. In a way of, life hacks are great, but Mom Hacks are really what I need more. So,
amen. I wrote it because I needed it. That's why it all stemmed from personal need.
That's so fun. And I'm sure every day you find more and more things with your your daughter and your son that,
yes, absolutely. Or a need for it where I'm like, I need to find a hack for that. There's got to be a hack for that one. So yeah, absolutely. Every day is a learning experience with kiddos.
Right. And they keep us pretty busy. And so much of what you talk about is that busyness. And people almost use, I'm so busy, as a brag. I know if I text a friend, how are you doing? Or you see someone in person, it's always an exasperated, oh, it's so busy. And I'm just wondering, do you think people are busy because they think it's sexy or because they think it's a positive thing?
Yeah, so Jamie, I think you're right. I think it's kind of seen as like this badge of honor right now. And then it always bothered me and I didn't know exactly why. And then I was developing my TED Talk and they said, well, what's something that really irritates you? And I said, you know what? It's just crazy busy. And I think it stemmed from the fact that I know that as an emergency room doctor, I have to be able to look at those double doors and say, whatever comes in, I can handle it. Mm-hmm. I cannot afford to be crazy busy, no matter what, no matter if I'm totally full at the capacity, that next patient comes in, I can't say to them, you know what, I know you're having a heart attack, but I'm really feeling kind of crazy busy right now, so just can you come back tomorrow? So that gravity of that made me realize, what are we doing in the emergency department? What are the skills we do? Because we're not superhuman there, but what are the skills? What are the systems we do? How can I take those lessons and extract them and then use them in my daily life as a mom and as a, you know, in the work I do and amongst my friends and family to eliminate crazy busy everywhere else too?
That makes great sense. I love that to say. I mean, I couldn't imagine if someone came into an emergency room, like you're saying, to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really busy. And we do that too often, you know, to not just people in general, like the school PTA saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. But we do it to our children too. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I need just a moment or oh, I need. So how do you not be crazy busy?
Yeah. And I think it's a couple of things, Jamie. For one, I think when you say crazy, when you say it's crazy busy, you're putting a judgment on it. And I know that y'all talk a lot about mindfulness in that moment. And so it's one thing to say it is busy. That is quantitatively, objectively, maybe it's busier than I would like, but crazy means it's more than I can handle mm-hmm. and that I'm going to be overwhelmed. And you start to catastrophize and your brain starts to release more cortisol. And what happens when you release cortisol, you get into fight or flight and your vision, your perspective actually narrows because it narrows down to just survival. And so taking away the crazy, having a moment to breathe, saying, you know, this is more busy than I would like, but I can handle it, enables you to put that fight or flight back down and release more of the parasympathetic nervous system, which allows you to actually have a wider focus. You can be more creative and you can take in more data points and see and make decisions and be more present. So one is just all of our listeners today, if they catch themselves starting to say it's crazy busy, to pause and say, it's not crazy busy, it's busy. If it is indeed more than you can handle, then we need to do some of the other tactics I talk about, like triaging and automating. But first, it starts with labeling it. And I think you also then mentioned part of being present with it is when your family comes in, and your family comes or a friend comes, and you know, you've probably heard of, you know, the bids for connection from John Ortberg and Gottman. They talk about that. And part of being crazy busy is, remember, we talked about, it just narrows your focus. You can't see anything else but like me, how I'm crazy busy. If you can widen that, when your child comes in, you can have a moment of saying, you know, mommy, I want to play with you, or talk to your friend for a moment. Say, I'd love to talk. I'm in the middle of something. Can we reconnect in 30 minutes or 2 hours or something? And it's, so it's taking that label off, that a label, it enables you to see more broadly and have those moments to be present and interact better.
It's wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. Even as you were talking, I'm reflecting and thinking, wow, the moments in which I tend to respond in a way that's not my favorite, you know, whether it's being short with my husband or short with the children, I tend to be telling myself some of these descriptive words that you're saying, like words like overwhelmed. And sometimes I'm not actually like overwhelmed in general. It might just be the moment, there's too many moving pieces. And instead of saying, okay, time out, I tend to be like, oh, it's fucking nuts, you know, instead of for myself. And so I think sometimes recognizing it is so important. Can you tell our listeners, what are some ways in which, besides, because sometimes I can't catch that word, maybe I'm not catching, oh, I just called it crazy, or I just called it nuts, or I just, you know, instead of just being busy, is there anything physiologically that you think happens? Or are there some things that, oh, I noticed, like, oh, my heart started to race, or I got, you know, are there anything other that you can kind of catch yourself that you could
remember? Yes. And Jamie, I love what you just said, because we talk about taking, you know, you're taking your physical temperature for COVID.
Right.
You're just talking about is taking more of your emotional temperature and how we can be more attuned to that. Because I think if 10 is where we're going to lose it and scream at our family, we're all living at like an 8 right now. You know, there's just so little buffer. So how can you catch yourself when you reach at 9 so you can intervene then before you get to the 10? Everybody's a little different. For some people, it just, you may feel like your heart's racing. For me, sometimes I feel like this pressure in my chest. It's like, it's hard to breathe for a second. Other people, it can be in their jaw. It's different. And I think we all have to start kind of listening to our bodies, because your body is giving you signals. And if you can get to that moment and feel it and then voice it, sometimes you're just saying, you know, sometimes, again, it's not putting the label on it of a judgment. It's actually voicing what you're feeling. You say, I'm feeling really, there's too much going on right now. You can say at that moment, like, I'm feeling overwhelmed by this, this, and this. That is different from saying, oh, I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Voicing it. So you've got to feel it and voice it. And we all get to those moments that 9 is just, we're about to get to a 10. At that point, just disengage. You know, I tell people, have a plan for when that happens. You and your partner, maybe have a safe word, or just say, you know, I got to step away. And they know that when you do, they're going to watch the kids. And if you're home by yourself, put the kids in front of the iPad. I don't really care. Forget about screen time if you're about to lose it. Just put them someplace they'll be safe. Go take 5 minutes for yourself. We all have those moments. We don't need to apologize for them right now. Just have a plan for when you do it. What we talk about in the emergency department, we don't plan for if crazy happens. We plan for when crazy happens. We assume it, we prepare for it, because if you're ready for it, then it's not actually crazy.
That's so good. And I wrote that down, feel, voice, and disengage. Mm-hmm. Is there a way in which you recommend that we can empower our children with these same tactics? What do you use maybe with your 6-year-old to help her feel, voice, and disengage? Or is it a little bit different for children?
Well, I think every age is different. I mean, as you know, Jamie, you have seen them at every stage. Mm-hmm. I think the first is just watching getting to see us and us modeling it. I think the biggest eye opener for me and the biggest driver for me to be a better person is my children, because I realize that everything I say and do, they are watching and they will repeat. So it starts with you doing it. And if they see that it's okay to say, I'm feeling X right now, I need to go do this to make it better, then they see that. And my 6-year-old now, she sometimes knows, she says, I need to take some space. Yeah. that. It's like, okay, you take your space, you do that. And we voice it again. So like, I know she has said that it's frustrating to her sometimes, and this comes from listening to our children, that it's frustrating to her because I'm super type A. I'm like, okay, give me the answers right now. Go, go, go. She thinks differently. And she says it's frustrating to her if I jump in, try to give an answer before she's had a chance to answer. So she now knows to say, give me some space to answer. So I think all of those things, showing your kids that it's okay to voice how you're feeling and then to problem solve for it. And I think the last thing, so we talked about, you know, take your temperature, voice it, disengage. The last one is to acknowledge that we don't always get this right. And I was talking to a psychologist friend of mine and talking about the concept of rupture and repair, because no matter what our best attempts, we will all have moments when we lose it. You know, I went to the grocery store the other day, and I went to one grocery store and they didn't have detergent. And so then I went to another grocery store and I finally got the detergent. And all I wanted to do was play with my kids and like get home. And it's now the shopping excursion took 4 hours. And I open the car door and the detergents all fall out on the ground and break. And I lost it. I started crying. I mean, crying over spilled detergent, really, but it just was this build. And so what rupture and repair teaches us is that even if you have that moment where you lose your mind and you yell at everybody and you storm away, obviously if you don't come back, then the relationship is harmed. But if you come back and go to those people that you hurt and you say, I'm sorry that I did this. Here's why. Again, you're voicing the why and not in a blaming them, but here's what I was feeling. And here is what I will do next time differently, or I would like to do. And then I might not always get it perfectly, but this is what I'm trying. Then actually the relationship is better than if you never had that incident at all. So again, a little bit of grace there.
Oh, that's a word I use a lot. Curtis, grace and courtesy with your family. That's huge. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Yes.
Cool. Thank you. And now I was intrigued by your 4 D's that were recently in the New York Times. Can you tell me, and I know you and I talked earlier, and even though you're Dr. Daria or Dr. D, the 4 D's aren't because you're Dr. Daria.
No.
Why 4 D's?
I'm not like the Kardashians where everybody's named with a K or something. My children are not all named with a D. The 4 D's just happened. So the 4 D's came about because I have so many friends, because I'm answering a lot of questions on Instagram for people in different places. And I get these messages and they say, you know, I want to go to this scenario with 3 people and people are this age and we're going to be there for this hour. It's like, is this safe? And I was trying to answer them and pardon?
I was like safe and COVID, right?
COVID in terms of safe. Yes. Sorry. Right. Yes.
Sneak, right? It's amazing.
Thank you for reading my mind, Jamie, because I wasn't explaining that very well, but thank you.
There's just so much going on right now. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think safe. Okay. Are we talking about safe from a demonstration, safe from predators, safe, you know, I don't know, but yes, COVID. Thank you.
You're right. You're right. As parents, we have to know there's so many things that we're needing to protect our children and teach them. But yes, in this setting, is it safe from a COVID standpoint? And I realized I can't tell everybody every single scenario. What I need to do is teach people how to protect themselves and how to make these calculations themselves. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is the country's opening up. Whether some people like it or some people don't, the reality is it is there. So let's just figure out how to do it smartly. And so as we open up, implied in that is that yes, people are going to be exposed to coronavirus. And the thing we introduced was that the concept of dose of exposure to coronavirus, it's no longer zero. And the fact is, if you get one little coronavirus virin particle on your nose, you're probably not going to get sick from it. You need a certain threshold of dose. And some studies say that even if you get enough to get sick, if it's still a pretty small dose, you may get less severely ill. So now I'm telling people, just think about the size of your dose. And so know your risk level if you're a high risk or low risk person, and then say, I want to keep my exposure dose low. So the 4 D's, think of the 4 D's kind of like if you have, you know, if you go to like some sound studio, you know how they have those. I know in a bit, even in my church, they have the guys who are the sound technicians and they have these sliding knobs that can slide back and forth.
Totally.
There's each D is one of those knobs. The first is density.
Okay.
Meaning how many people and how much space? Is it an enclosed space or is it outside space, outside being on the safer side? The second D is distance. You know, can you be at least 6 feet from people? The third D is duration. How long are you going to be exposed to people? Are you going to be exposed for 30 seconds, like walking past them on a pathway? Or are you going to be with them for 4 hours in a protest or a rally or a convention or something or a concert. And then the last D is degree of activity. Are you sitting quietly or are you singing or shouting or exercising together? And you can imagine if all four Ds are high, it's a super high dose activity. If all of these are low, it's really low. So I tell people that so they can balance. So if you're someplace that the duration is high, well, can you keep the density, distance, and the degree of activity low? So you can balance. And if you can keep, you know, two or three low, you're safer. What was that?
I was saying like a long high. I'm thinking of all of these examples in my head. Like, okay, so thinking of the sliders, like you're mentioning. So if it's a long hike with a group of people, but you're able to space yourself, you're outdoors.
Yep.
And you're, yeah, that's good.
Exactly. Because there's not an absolute answer we can give anybody, but that way you can give people a way to figure out the framework for themselves and to adjust what's in their control.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we have recently seen a big spike, I think more than in Florida, because I think we're just used to being loose around here apparently, because it's just out and about, and we're still contained. We've done a couple of beach play dates, but again, not in our home, not in, you know, on the beach, a period of time. Everyone brings their own food, such as that.
And that's smart, because Jamie, you're being really smart. The point is, we don't need to be so afraid. If we could be smart and very strategic about it, then that would help with the fear, that would help with the outbreaks.
And I love that you said, you know, if you're exposed, it doesn't mean that you're going to get deathly ill. It's a little bit and a little bit, almost just as this vaccine that they're developing, you know, that there will be a little bit of the virus in the vaccine. Right. So really, you know, being terrified of any exposure maybe isn't the right, you know, reasonable feeling either.
Right. Exactly. You can think it more like your, you know, your total calorie intake. If you're trying not to gain weight, that doesn't mean you don't take in any calories. You just want to keep it under a certain threshold. Same thing with your dose. You don't have to be petrified of it. I don't want people to panic, but you want to keep it under that dose.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. And usually we keep our podcast to just two questions, but I have another burning question for you. Well, besides the 75-year-old self. So a question, speaking of our inside and our outside and all of these different parts of ourselves that you seem to be so well-rounded and versed in, you have a saying where you say, if you make your outer look the way that you want, then your inner will follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So often you hear the opposite, like inner focus, outer state. So tell me a little, change my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we're not talking about actually like how we look in terms of like aesthetics, beauty. I think that's important. It is the feeling that you portray. Mm-hmm. So, and this is something that I've learned from, you know, working in the emergency department. We all get nervous. We all get scared. That is human. But it is what you do next that matters. So, you know, there's one story I tell people of working in a small satellite emergency department, and a woman came in and she said, I'm in labor. And we have that happen a lot, but she often, they're not truly in labor, and you can kind of package them up and get them into the main facility. And I was kind of working a separate shift at this satellite hospital where I was the only doctor. And so we go and I go to check her and realize that she's fully in labor. And so I alert my nurse, and I'm trying to stay very calm as well. And we go to start to deliver her, because this woman's going to deliver her. And I ask for a pediatrician or OBGYN to come down, and there's nobody else. There's a one elderly gastroenterologist that was also in the hospital who was not going to be very much help for me at that moment. And I realized that the cord was wrapped twice around the baby's neck. And on the inside, I was scared. I was terrified. That's kind of one of the worst scenarios that you never want to have to face, that you train for, but hope that it never happens. But I couldn't let the mom see that. And to her, it was, you know, great job. You've been pushing. Let's take a break. Let's take a little break right now. Rest and breathe for a second while I was feverishly trying to get the cord off. We got the cord off, delivered the baby. You know, dad walks in right at that point. I was like, hi, congratulations. I'm Dr. Daria. You have a daughter. You want to cut the cord? But again, for her in that moment, she had to see calm. And I remember another time I had an intern, and we were running a code, and he said, you were so calm during that afterwards. And I said, well, what would happen if I panicked? And he's like, oh, everybody would lose it, wouldn't they? Yes. So sometimes my point is, sometimes you may not always feel a certain way, but but you have to act it. And if you can direct your thoughts that way towards the way you need to be, then your feelings will sometimes follow. And I do this as somebody who struggles. I'm not in perfect control of my feelings. That's why I do gratitude books at night. And I was talking to a friend a while back, and sometimes I write down my 5 things I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. I write them down. You don't always actually feel grateful at night. Sometimes you're still frustrated, as you know, but you write them down, because studies have shown that if you do the act of writing out these things for which you are grateful or good things, your feelings will follow. That's what get your thoughts in a certain direction, which we have more control over, and then our feelings will follow. And I think that's important in every area of your life, but especially right now when you're feeling really stressed.
And it's so important to bring that into the home and model that for our children, just as you were speaking earlier about, mm-hmm. you know, that modeling for your children, that the busyness and the craziness, mm-hmm. also modeling. Sometimes we are afraid, and it's the mm-hmm. difference between walking through the fear or standing on it. And oftentimes if we push outside of that comfort zone, I mean, could you imagine, now you have this great story and you delivered this scary delivery that could have, you know, not been so cool and calm. And when you start to get, when your anxiety goes up, doesn't your thinking, your processing and your thinking yes. go down, right?
You're exactly right. Just like, you know, when your stress levels are high, your cortisol is high, again, your field of vision focuses into this fight or flight. And you actually aren't capable of being more creative and seeing broader solutions. So another way that I can help in those moments, of course, breathing and like taking a deep breath and helping with that, but also with compassion. I've found that for me, when I'm feeling really worried or stressed or in the emergency department, frustrated by all the patients coming in, just taking a moment and making sure I see that person who is in front of me, not as a patient, but as a person, feeling compassion for them, that can really easy kind of like slice through that feeling of overwhelm. And we can do the same with our kids. When your child's having that tantrum and the crazy busy says, oh my gosh, they're having a tantrum to make my life miserable. Right. But if you can actually say, no, she's having a tantrum because she's feeling miserable right now, put that compassion back, and that can slice through that crazy busy overwhelmed feeling and get you back to a moment of being present and figuring out solutions.
That's so good. I immediately think of my 2-year-old that I have, and he loves to buckle his own seat, car seat.
Oh no.
Ever convenient.
No. I mean, any parent should just know, if your toddler says, I want to do it myself, it's like, you know what? I'm going to sit down, get myself a glass of wine, because this is going to take a while.
Yeah. But understanding how important that is to them. You know, it's important to you to be on time. It's important to you to have things in a certain order, for you to get the air conditioning on, or whatever it may be. But like you said, if you can see what's in front, who's in front of you for who they are and what their path is and what they're working on, you get that compassion to realize, okay, buckling the seatbelt matters a lot to them. And maybe if they buckle the seatbelt, then maybe there's not a challenge later when you don't have that moment.
Yes, exactly. You're exactly right. And being present also, sometimes you realize, the extra 3 minutes actually doesn't matter. But we're just so caught up in like, I got to get to the next, because I'm feeling crazy busy. I got to get to the next thing, got to rush through, that just taking that moment. And so compassion is just really powerful for me, just to cut through. It helps.
That's beautiful. So it's interesting. You know, you have this wealth of knowledge in many different directions, but it's beautiful that you're able to take things like, okay, so we're going from crazy busy. Maybe if I don't label it as crazy, mm-hmm. and then I show a little bit of compassion, and then, you know, and it all kind of backs us off. Into just this calmer, you can be busy or you can have a lot of those moving parts, mm-hmm. but they don't have to move as fast, I guess you could right. say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And what I talk about, I know we don't have time to get into it today, is there's the mindset of crazy busy, and then there's the tactics. So, you know, how we do these mindset things we've been talking about, and then what are the tactics to actually get things off your plate, like triaging your life and saying what things are on my to-do list that are red, most important, and then what are my black things on my to-do list, the black items, and I use these colors, I didn't make them up, they're the triage system we use in the hospital, the black items are the items on your list that you just need to take off your list and say, I don't need to do those. I'm going to delegate it or somebody else will do it. So that we focus on that and we don't get swarmed by this 80 item to-do list. So again, then you have the tactics for how we actually manage it in the emergency department, no matter how chaotic it gets.
That's wonderful. Now, what would your 75-year-old self say to Dr. Daria in this moment with your 3 and your 6-year-old, this moment when the world is spinning wildly? The world is crazy. I'm going to go ahead and label the world crazy right now. I mean, I'm going to be okay with that.
You're not saying crazy busy. So I think I'm going to allow it this time, Jamie.
No, it's a little, it's different. It's different. And yeah. And so drawing upon all of extracting all of this wisdom that you already have, and then looking forward many years to your 75-year-old self, what other wisdom and calm, present compassion do you think Dr. D would tell you?
I think, you know, and I plan to think about this question during our interview, and you know, I was thinking about all the other things we're talking about. My 75-year-old self would look back. I would think two things. Worry less about yourself and where you are in this present moment, and love and listen more. Listen to my children. Listen to the people who are hurting right now on all sides. I think that's what it would say. I think we are so quick to get defensive or say, well, this is my experience. Well, I think we all need to be a little bit quieter and listen to each other's experience and have, because when we listen, we then build empathy and then we can find solutions. And I think that's a case whether you're thinking about listening to your 2-year-old or some neighbor or somebody on the other side of the world.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking with you and listening to all of your wisdom. I know that we could do this all day. I'm excited. I've made lots of notes on things. Okay, follow up and look up more of this. Thank you for your wealth of knowledge. Now, where can our listeners find more of you?
So pretty easy. I'm Dr. Daria everywhere. So that's D-R-D-A-R-R-I-A. On Instagram, I'm answering a lot of viewers' questions, and we do a weekly Ask Dr. Daria now. So people can submit their questions and then or ask them live. So that's a great place, is to follow me there and ask me questions there. I also have, my website is drdaria.com, which we say is my lifestyle guide with a science-based soul. So people can sign up there. And two quick freebies that I think are really important for right now. One is my weeknight dinner blueprint and meal plan. It's all meals that are pretty healthy, pretty easy, done in 20 minutes or less, and just get them on the table so that you never have to sweat, like, what's for dinner, mom, again. So there's that. My husband made one last night because I was stuck late on a call, and he called the meal so easy, even your husband can do it. So that's one. And then the other is the crazy busy guides. You can take the quiz, get your crazy busy score, and then more importantly, get a toolkit of how to triage your life and how to minimize the stress that you're feeling right now.
So perfect. I love it. Thank you for that offer and for telling us where to find it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. My pleasure. I'd love to hear from your audience. So feel free to reach out to me.
That would be great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Jamie. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.